The lunatic is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the house.
Lunatic is in the house.
The lunatics are in my house.
The lunatics are in the house.
The paper holds their folded faces to the floor.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
Gilmore.
Good to have you all here with us today. Leo Gilmore, of course, in the house here, cultural correspondent for the Center for Emerging Media and editor, I should say.
Good
to have you in the house.
It was good to be here again.
And, you know, send me that read again because I don't see that the read here on the desk. So you want me to read? So it's not there. I can't read it. having said that, let's talk about who's here in the studio with us. And what we're doing, what that song was. We'll get to that in a minute because I want to hear what that's about.
Yeah, that was great.
But Ellen Cherry's here in the studio. It's been a long time. Good
Hello.
To see you again.
Thanks for having me.
And Sandy Asarvatham is here in the studio with us.
Hi.
Asarvatham, excuse me. Co-creators of Moptown Moon, a project involving 40 Baltimore-based musicians reimagining the classic Pink Floyd album,
Dark Side of the Moon. There you go.
I started playing that the other night. I thought I couldn't get up again. But anyways, as I remember that song many years back.
Yeah.
Lee, what was that you were singing? Was that was
yeah,
two levels
I'm
of
actually,
your voice, right?
Pardon?
Was that both you?
That was me singing one of the tracks from Dark Side of the Moon from it being reimagined with Baltimore-based musicians. But it was produced by these amazing women. So multicultural, such a diversity of musicians. And I never thought in my life that I would sing Pink Floyd. I mean, it was a magical experience for me. And so I was singing, I always say Ball and Chain. It's not Ball and Chain. I was singing,
Ellen. Brain Damage. Brain Damage?
Brain Damage. See, I have Brain Damage.
Many of us did from then, but you weren't around then.
Well, I wasn't around. I was around, but, you know, we were kind of young. But it was such an amazing experience, seriously. And I think that Baltimore really has such an incredible amount of talent. And it's really being shown on this particular recording, which has been celebrated by many people, by the press, by the listeners. I get such great reactions, and I go, they say, Leah, I heard you on the Moptown Moon. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. I didn't know you knew Pink Floyd. And I would say, I didn't know I did either, because it's very interesting. As a teenager in the African-American community, Pink Floyd wasn't really something that we yet were listening to until they came out with The Wall. And then that was kind of their crossover thing into our musical vernacular. But Pink Floyd is well known around the world, period.
No, absolutely. I mean, if you don't know them, you know the...
And my husband's name is David Gilmore.
So she had to be on the record.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
That's very funny.
That is very funny.
That's very funny. But everybody knows the name Pink Floyd, whether you know their music or not.
Exactly.
It's something you know. So why? What is this about? Turning to the mob.
Well, it began with a crazy personal dream I had. I come out of jazz piano and vocal and songwriting, and that was where my attention was. But in 2008, 2009, I started listening again to a lot of stuff from childhood, including Dark Side of the Moon. And it hit me again at a moment when I was sort of feeling a lot of world weariness and despair. It was the financial crisis and, you know, a decade into war, and just a moment in which I was really feeling a lot of personal anxiety and a moment of mournfulness about the world at large. And so what started out, the cool thing about this project for me is that it has both parts of it. It was a very personal project, a very kind of emotional, artistic response I had to this album, listening to it again after all these years, and also recognizing it from the point of view of now being a songwriter and seeing that these are really, you know, the Pink Floyd thing, we made jokes about the drugs and all that kind of stuff, but really, when it comes down to it, it's like really solid music, solid songwriting, solid musicianship. And so all those things, both the negative of the sort of the dark messages in the music and the positive aspects of it being this beautifully structured stuff, kind of struck me. And I knew I wanted to do something with it, and I started hearing different arrangements and things like that. And then I also started thinking a lot about this town we live in and all these great musicians and the fact that I hate the divisions we make in the music community, something right. I had noticed. So I began a career after being a writer for many years. I began a career as a performing musician fairly late in life, and it was all in this town. And I noticed very early on, this is a whole other topic, that the jazz
for about three
scene,
shows.
For example, the jazz scene, for example, can be still very racially and socially segregated, mm-hmm. even in a mm-hmm. town as small as this. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of thing, and then the segregation among different styles of music, right. the folk pop people don't necessarily know, the jazz people don't necessarily know the opera or the classical people. I hate that. I don't understand why it exists, especially in a town that is otherwise so close-knit. I mean, you cannot go to the local right. gym without seeing 20 people that you know. So why is it in this one aspect culturally we're still so divided and cliquey?
And saying town is very apropos, because you're right. We're about two people removed from, you know, your best friends. I don't care if what racial make you are, don't talk about anyone, because I go, oh, that's my cousin.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but I think that's interesting what you said about, because I think that you have to be very proactive here in order not to be compartmentalized as a musician. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really attracted me to this project, because I am very proactive about not being compartmentalized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, people hear you're a gospel blues singer and they hear that's all you can do. But, you know, I sang classically for years.
Right.
You know, and just like Ellen and Sandy, who have such diversity in their styles and their playing. And that's what I think makes this such a special project. Ellen, you're a songwriter, basically a singer-songwriter. And I have heard some of your music, and it's brilliant.
Thank you.
Really, really. And you know, girl, I wouldn't say it unless I meant it.
Right. I appreciate that.
Right. How did you and Sandy get together?
Actually, I think we met at a show. We were doing a fundraising show, and Sandy and I just became friends. And then it was 2010 that she had been percolating over this idea for about a year, and it just sort of came together. I think the beginnings of it were very organic, and then the ambitious ideas were right there from the beginning, even though we were sort of developing the scale and the scope of it all along. Mm-hmm. But I think we met at a show.
Well,
we
and I want to say about Ellen's involvement is that the thing about having a crazy personal quirky idea is that it stays that way.
And I always
it doesn't,
have them.
You know, it doesn't go anywhere unless you get some people to actually trust and believe you. And so I talked to her about it, and instantly she was like, let's have a meeting. Let's do this, you know? Yeah. And that
Where's
energized
the
me.
Yeah, I'll
it was awesome. And the thing is that Ellen is a very skilled collaborator. She's done it a lot. I am more of the, I've been doing, you do a lot of work on your own too, but I think it was something to come to, this idea of like, hey, let's get everybody and put on a show, you know, and that was the energy that she brought to it, and it sort of added to this idea of what can we do in the musical community in Baltimore to sort of bring people together and break down some of these stupid social barriers.
What was the reaction when you talked about doing Dark Side of the Moon with everybody?
I was really intrigued by the idea. I mean, as a solo songwriter for a decade and a half before that, the idea of what Sandy's talking about of collaborating, that's my MO now. Mm-hmm. I get so much inspiration and energy from hearing other artists' ideas, whether they're visual artists or performance artists or musicians. Mm-hmm. And so I knew the album, but I didn't know it as intimately as Sandy had been reacquainting herself with it in 2009. So this was a great opportunity for me to also observe the amazing production that was put into the original album.
Exactly.
And also to reach our goal as a songwriter, I wanted to push forward the melody and the lyrics. And
yeah. But I think you're also asking about other folks when we started to approach them. Mm. Well, it was funny because in the beginning I was a little bit fearful that first that some people, I mean, because, you know, I make this joke often, but you do occasionally run across a classically trained musician who will say, Pink who, you know,
but
the most part, and I think it has something to do with, I mean, most of the people who are on the record were somewhat in our social circle, close friends or also people that we might have met or known before. We didn't necessarily work with all of them before, but everybody who eventually said yes, and I would say 99% of the people we asked said yes and became involved, were so excited about it. No matter what they are doing right now with their music, they knew Pink Floyd. They knew that record. They might not know it as well as they wanted to, but everybody had this sense like, that's a perfect record to get people involved in because it does have this kind of timelessness.
It's iconic. You know, there's an iconic thing. I was just, you want me to do what? You know? I was thrilled to be asked.
Let's play this other cut that comes from this, the piece, the stuff you're working on. I think all of you are on this cut, I think. Breathe.
Actually, we are.
It's just Ellen and Sandy.
Ellen and Sandy.
You're right.
Let's do this cut. Sandy Asravatham, one of our guests, and Ellen Cherry, our other guest here, part of this Mobtown Moon project.
That's right.
So what is Mobtown Moon? Where does that come from?
Well, I mean, there was Moon, and then there was Mobtown, and there was alliteration. And,
where are you under the moon one night together in Mobtown?
The dark side of the moon, and then Baltimore's
exactly.
Mobtown.
Yeah, we needed a brand name, and it was catchy, and I don't know.
I think it started as Operation Dark Side, right?
That was my code name. See, I was being very startup private about it at first. So when we first sat down with some people, some early supporters, and I have to say that the other thing, not only musicians have responded so well to this, but from the very beginning when we talk to music fans, when we talk to people who, you know, give out grants, when we talk to people who donate and come to shows, and, you know, everybody's been so, so supportive and excited about this. So Mobtown Moon, it's our little brand name, and it's working pretty well.
I love it.
It's great.
It's good.
It's great. It's
good.
Alliterative. So Sandy and Ellen, you guys have a show coming up.
Yes.
September 28th.
Oh, yes. That one it is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's 2 days after
hour.
My birthday. Well,
happy
I shall
birthday,
be
early.
29 again, and again, and again,
and again,
and again, and again, and again, and again, and again.
It's a day after my husband's birthday, so this is what I'm getting him.
He must be very cool.
I'm getting him a show. He's getting a show.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I won't be able to be there because I'll be in Belgium. But my son is going to sing in my stead.
Yes.
And whom else?
We made an album. I should just say we did make an album. Yes,
yes.
You're hearing part of it. It was released in May, and there were 40 musicians, including a choir from Orchids, which is the BSO sponsored kids program.
Can I jump in here too?
Please.
That this was a Baltimore-based project. We used a Baltimore studio. We used a Baltimore our recording engineer Scott Smith at the Wooden Stone Room. All Baltimore musicians. It was very vital to us that we kept it in our hometown.
Absolutely.
Right. I just wanted to
and
insert that.
On top of that, Mission Ticks is where you get the show tickets for September 28th. They are a Baltimore-based company, and they've also been very supportive with like a
cheaper than usual ticketing fee and all that kind of stuff. But these are the people, if I may, we haven't had a chance to do this yet. These are the people who are involved in our recording. Ben Frock, trumpeter and composer known for a band called Love Unit here in town. Brian Sims, who's part of Speakers of the House and Milkshake, who's a vocalist and keyboardist. Brian Young, who's one of the best bassoonists in the world. Dave Hadley, who's a pedal steel master. Dave DeMarco, who's the bassist and been the bassist for Crack the Sky for years and years. David Ross, spoken word artist. Femi the Dryfish. Frank Russo on drums. Jake Leckie on bass. Jen Smith on voice and cello. Jonathan Gilmore, Leah's stand-in son.
Right.
She gave birth to him exactly
yes,
for this purpose.
So I that, did. I
that
did.
Many years later. She
but I'm
be
honored
here.
To be on the actual CD.
Yes, yes. Mark St. Pierre, a great drummer. Russ Kirk, a jazz saxophonist. Scott Smith, you mentioned. Tim Anderson on cello. Todd Marcus, he's been getting a lot of press lately for his new album. He's a bass clarinetist with great, great jazz compositions and a great band. Tom Hall is bringing Baltimore Choral Arts Society, and he's also getting his own little vocal feature to do himself. So he's not just directing, he's going to sing a little bit. Vincent Stringer, who's an opera instructor here, who was on the album and will be featured a little bit there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Warren Bowes, the guitarist who's been part of Almighty Senators and all these. So it's this vast conglomeration of people from all these different parts of town, and we're just so excited.
And they're all from Baltimore, but they are such world-traveled and world-known
yes.
musicians.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the great thing about this is that these are Baltimoreans, but they are known across, you know, nationally and internationally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just gives so much even more cachet. I hate that word I just said, but to the album. But it's great. There's such talent here in Baltimore. And I think what Sandy and Ellen did was really get together.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Some really amazing folks, you know. I don't want to call myself amazing.
You're amazing.
Okay. No, I'm not going to take it, but thank you. More and more. I think it's really something. And where exactly is the concert going to be?
Crash Hour
at Goucher Auditorium. And I will tell you, we have 943 seats total, if you don't include the 10 mm-hmm. folding chairs. And 380 of them are sold already.
Wonderful.
So it's 2 months away almost. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, so if you want to come, you gotta get
right.
out there and buy a ticket.
I'll take the plane real fast.
But I want to say one little other thing. I'm sorry I'm so hopped on up on coffee that I've been talking so much. But
that's what you're here for.
You and I had this conversation.
Yeah.
The other thing you were saying about these folks who have these great national and international reputations.
Right.
And Ellen's toured all over the place. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention Patrick Clinton. He's another vocalist. He's with a band called We're About Nine. They're a folk trio that mm-hmm. harmonizes, and they've toured all over the place, but they don't play in the hometown very often.
It's
you don't
me.
Play in the hometown very often. A lot of people here in Baltimore don't know what they've got right under their
right
door to them. You
That's
know,
right.
So that was part of our mission too.
Ellen, you were going to say something. You were about to say something.
No, I wasn't.
You did look like that though. Let's go to another cut from the album that they've made, the CD they made.
Great.
This is Money.
Money you get away, you get that good job, more pay and you're okay. Money it's a gas, grab that cash with both hands and make a stand. New car, caviar, full start, daydream, think about me, a football team. Money, you get back. I'm all right, Jack, keep your hands off of my stack.
As I said during the break, this is all right.
It's all right. It's all good.
This is all right.
We'll quote you on that in our press.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, this is good.
Mark, I wish the public could see Mark out in here. bopping his head and playing the drums on the desk. You know?
I mean, I listened to the original last night.
Oh, right.
Thinking about today's show. You know, I just kind of queued it up and listened to it. And I got the CD and I got the, I even have
the album. Right.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's one of our hopes.
I have the album with a sticker that says $4.99 on it.
I have the album too.
Right. Yeah.
That was one of our hopes, I think, for also people that, for the three people in the world who don't know Pink Floyd.
Right.
You know, they're somewhere. I don't know who they are, but.
Who was that just doing Breathe?
Doing Money. That was Chris Jacobs.
That's
And that was one of the things I wanted to mention earlier I did forget, that like part of it was a little bit of fangirl. You know, we picked a couple people that we wanted to meet, like Leah and Chris Jacobs, and work with.
Thank you.
And we were able to have this project where we could say, hey, now we have an opportunity for you that it's an opportunity for us. We get to meet you, get to work with you, and exploit your talents. It was wonderful. Exploit in a good way.
That's even more evil for me because...
Evil.
It is evil. It's evil.
Dark
because,
side of the moon, like, evil. Like, there's
a theme. Yes.
Seriously, as I mentioned, the music was a second career for me. I was in my 30s before I ever played in a band, although I had long classical piano experience.
Me too.
I had done a lot of singing, like the I've done a lot of amateur singing in groups. So the Gregorian chant Breathe, that comes straight out of some work that I had done with a composer named Toby Twining many years ago and stuff. So I had a lot of experience, but most of it was kind of amorphous, and I am by far the least road tested, least performance experienced, least recording studio experienced musician of any of the people involved in this. So my evil is that I got to tell all these great musicians what they should be doing.
You got to
and
be the boss.
Make
and
them
we,
execute
and we all
these
listened.
Things.
And I said, you want me to sing in what key?
You know? You did it, though.
No, oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was a wonderful experience. And not always do we get to say that in studio situations, but when you work with such talented people who definitively know what they want.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's a great, great thing. And then working outside your own box is something we all should do.
But, you know, we were very careful also to choose people that we knew bring themselves 100% to whatever project they're involved in and just know how to go in there and just, you know, there was so little. I mean, we set the parameters, we wrote parts, we did all that kind of stuff. But, a lot of it was, I mean, the story about your song is that I didn't even know for sure. We didn't know what we were going to do with you. I just know we wanted you on the record. And the three of us got together at Paper Moon Diner, and we sat down, and you were talking.
More
and
moon.
We were,
right.
More moon.
More moon.
It's very
lunar. It's fate.
It must have something to do with us being women. And the
there
moon.
You go.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. But
yes, I remember this.
You were talking, and suddenly I heard your voice. You were talking. I think we were talking about economics, actually. We were
talking
about music.
Yeah, because that's what I used to do.
Me too. But I heard you singing it, you know?
Right.
It's like I had that vision right there.
Because I sound like a dude when I talk, that's right.
You do.
Right. So you've been on this project since almost the beginning.
Well, I think the beginning of them reaching out, you know, I've been a part of it. And I think that I can't tell you really how honored I am to be one of the many musicians who are involved in it. And I get to do a lot of cool things, you know, around the world. But to do something so creative, so, you know, just Baltimore-centric with my fellow Baltimore musicians was really, really a wonderful experience. Because as we say, we keep saying here, there's so much talent here. And it's unfortunate that there are not the venues for many musicians to play or to be a professional musician here. They have to travel, or we have to travel to
And
to
when
do
I'm
it.
Traveling, too, I feel like people hear that I'm from Baltimore and they have this look of fear on their faces because the cultural impression of Baltimore out there is that we are living in a war zone sometimes. And I hope I'm not speaking in a turn here, but
no,
I just feel
right.
like this is an opportunity for us to raise the profile of the other side of Baltimore, which is that which is not the HBO side of Baltimore, that there are people living here, working here. This is a great town for artists to own homes and be a part of the community.
Right. Oh, Ellen, so well said. Yeah. Mark and I have talked about this, that when I go to Europe, you know, they say, I say I live in Baltimore, and The Wire is so popular.
Yeah.
It's so popular. The Wire, Homicide, Life on the Streets, The Corner. That's what they know about Baltimore. And one Baltimorean who is a very, very famous writer, Grammy Award winning writer of liner notes, thought that, oh my goodness, she's from Baltimore, so she can't sing. He said, and then I heard you singing. Went, man, she's from Baltimore. We need to stop that.
Pat Calloway, Bill Holiday,
that's
come
someone
on.
From Baltimore.
What?
Yeah, for real.
So let's hope we can
well,
help
thank
change
you
that.
So much for what you've done.
Is there a website for tickets?
Yes. Well, you can go to mobtownmoon.com, or you can go to missiontix.com directly and look us up.
Please come see us on September 28th. Yeah. We would love to see you in the crowd.
Well, if your tickets aren't going hot and heavy by early September, you let us know and we'll begin to push it on the air more to make sure we
thank
all get
you.
It.
Oh,
and
thank
he
you.
Means
so
it. Yeah, yes. He means it.
Because you deserve it. I'm going to thank you both, Sandy Osorbotham, for being in the studio along with Ellen Sherry.
Thank
and
you.
Thank
their,
you so much, guys.
Mom,
thanks,
Moon,
you're welcome.
Dark Side. This is, wait. This is the original.
Yeah,
this is
not
about
yeah.
Going out a little original Dark Side of the Moon. Money. So, thank you all for the work you're doing. This is great.
They're fabulous.
They're amazing.
Thank you.
And I will be right back.
There you go.
Don't go away.